Welcome to the Cyber Sisters podcast. We're your Cyber Sisters, Allison and Emily, two cyber educators talking about ed tech pedagogy, and this week, STEAM in the Cloud. This week, joining us is Daisha Jones. Daisha, also known as Dr. Drizzle, is an internationally recognized educator who travels the country inspiring teachers and administrators alike to integrate STEM into everyday instruction. A regular presenter at marquee education events such as NSTA, ISTE, South by Southwest EDU, Daisha has been empowering educators to engage students through STEM for more than 20 years. She is known worldwide for her innovative approach to learning and is passionate about building relationships, building a culture of STEM, and building capacity. She frequently speaks as an expert in the areas of outdoor education, project-based learning, differentiation in the classroom, and UN Global Goals instruction in the classroom. Daisha and her husband Steve work together to bring as many high-quality STEM opportunities to students, teachers, and schools for free. Their nonprofit, Expeditions in Education, will allow them to travel the country bringing relevant real-world virtual and face-to-face opportunities to students in the United States and around the world. Right now, their reach is over 1 million students and teachers each year. If you're interested in partnering with this nonprofit, please reach out to them, and we will be providing information at the end of the show. Daisha, we're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much. It's very exciting. I will tell you that I am in the Delta Sky Lab right now, or Sky Club right now. So if I sound a little weird, it's because I'm making sure people around me don't kick me out.
Trust me, we've had all kinds of interesting interview locations. And from what we know about your work, it makes perfect sense that you would be in the middle of traveling between different places. So we're really excited to get you regardless of where you are.
I had the opportunity to go with Daisha this summer to one of her STEAM in the Park opportunities. I was able to go to the National Mall this summer and spend 5 days, I'm pretty sure, down in Washington, D.C. with her and Ranger Jen and Ranger Bethany, and we had just the most amazing time. And I came back and I said, Allison, we need to have Daisha on our podcast because we need to tell the world about all of these amazing opportunities. So I am super excited about this episode. And we have timed it perfectly because when this episode comes out, you will have the opportunity to apply for one of Daisha's amazing opportunities. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, Daisha, we would love to hear a little bit about your teaching, about your journey in general. What brought you initially to teaching, and then how did that lead into your STEAM in the Park and Expeditions in Education?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up bossy. My mom was a teacher and my dad was a preacher, and I decided that it was my job to tell everyone else what to do. And I did that for a couple of years, and then my sisters were born, and then I knew my true calling would be bossing people around or being a teacher. But seriously, loving to learn and working in the outdoors and reading was just something that gave me a lot of joy growing up. But to be honest, my first year of college, I thought nursing was going to be my track first. So I went to my nursing classes, took chemistry, failed it probably multiple times. But it was the nursing class that changed my trajectory. One day we were asked to give shots to an orange. Well, that was perfect. I could do that, you know, every day. But one day we came in and they said, today we're going to replace the orange with your colleague's buttocks. And we're going to want you to give the shot to each other. Well, I got my shot and did great. I turned to give my shot to one of my colleagues and I passed out. Evidently, I don't like the sight of blood. So changed my major the next year and decided that I still wanted to help people and possibly be a little bossy if I could, but I went into teaching, and that's where I found my true passion. I actually double majored in teaching and music, because music had always been a really big part of my life, performance. And so during my college years, I spent half the time working in schools and half the time performing in off-Broadway productions and little theater around the country. and decided to become a teacher. I had another roadblock because when I graduated, I got a full-time offer to go into the YMCA as a director of family and youth services. So I thought, well, I'm still going to work with kids, so I'll take this for a couple of years. So I took that job. I loved it, had a great time, met this guy working at one of the camps that I was in charge of, thought he was cute, fell in love with him, fired him so I could marry him, and then went back to teaching. So that's sort of my journey into teaching and education. Was in the classroom for about 14 years and then became an instructional coach and then an instructional coach of coaches, which was a unique job. Went into the field of science and became a science director for a large district in North Carolina. And then the pivotal moment for me was my husband, Steve, who is actually one half of this duo. He's just always behind the scenes, so it seems appropriate that he's sitting beside me working on videos right now. He said, why don't we quit our jobs and do what we do best, putting you out there in front of kids and teachers and schools, and let's do it full time. And we probably won't get paid for it, but let's do it anyway. So I immediately said, yes, we're going to do that. So I quit my job the next day and we began our nonprofit.
One of the things that I love hearing in this is something that we have heard from many teachers, which is I think that sometimes there's this misconception that, you know, all teachers that come to the profession come to it sort of as that teacher who wanted to be a teacher, you know, their entire life. And that, you know, it's not a profession where people leave, people come back, people do other things. You know, you're in one classroom and you're there for life. And your story shows that there are so many ways to be a teacher. And there are so many parts of the educational process that need people, that need good people. And I'm so excited to hear about sort of the leaps that you were willing to take, because, you know, you've clearly brought a really fantastic program to many, many students in many, many places that maybe wouldn't have had access to them. So speaking about one of those fantastic programs, could you tell us a little bit about what STEAM in the Parks actually is, what its objectives are, and what someone would do if they were going to apply to come join your program?
Absolutely. And I think to understand STEAM in the Park, you have to understand our nonprofit. So my husband and I began a nonprofit a few years ago called Expeditions in Education. And our job was to provide experiences for kids and teachers and communities that they may not otherwise get. So we began filming in national parks. Today, actually, we filmed our 131st national park site. And we started doing that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And teachers were loving our work. They were seeing it online. They were contacting us. I was doing some coaching and mentoring, you know, via email, via textbook or text message, via Facebook Messenger. And we decided that let's go a little deeper. During the pandemic, we saw obviously some student loss of learning. But more than that, just the joy of teaching kind of fell out of some teachers' faces. And we decided that our arms were big enough to embrace all of those teachers. So we came up with the idea of STEAM in the Park. My husband and I both have a camp background. We both grew up in national parks and camping. And then we both, before we met each other, were camp counselors at camps. And it just seemed like a natural progression for us. So in 2021, we had our first STEAM in the Park at Acadia National Park. We had 32 educators there. This was sort of our prototype, if you will, our proof of concept, and it worked really well. And we thought, well, let's do it again next summer. I'm not very good at math sometimes, so instead of just doubling what we did that first year, we went to 8. And I'm not sure what base that is, but we went to 8 and we filled those up. And that's where we met Emily at the National Mall. One of the things we did at the National Mall was tackle the UN global goal of social justice. So I think that's why that was such a special time for all of us. So again, not being very good at math, since those 8 went well, we decided let's go again. And this summer we're going to have 12 national park sites. So from Big Cypress in Florida all the way to Hawaii volcanoes. And then all over the country, we're inviting educators and park rangers to join us for 5 days and 4 nights of learning. Now, this is not professional development. Nowhere where you'll see that on any of our publicity. It's a professional learning experience or an adventure or an immersion. We want to take away the stigma of a sit and get, that this is where you come to be refreshed, to be rejuvenated, and to renew your spirit. We applications open on January 1st for these places. We will let people know by Valentine's Day, which I think is very apropos, if they are selected to come. And then we begin building community immediately through Facebook group, through Zooms, through small group conversations on WhatsApp. And we get everyone ready and prepared so that when we meet each other, boots on the ground that first day, it's all about the hugging that day, because everything else we've already figured out.
I'm really struck by the way that you say our arms were big enough. You know what I mean? I think for teachers, that's something that we say to ourselves so often. And so I thank you for being a person who is saying that to teachers. That is such a powerful thing to be offering. And I think the opportunity to have that sort of refreshment, to be with other educators, to have that embrace, to have that connection to nature. Both Emily and I are former Girl Scouts. So we very much believe in the power of being out in nature and being able to really be in a place where learning comes from a very natural kind of place, from natural curiosity, from authentic places and experiences. So I just think that this is such a wonderful idea and such a great service that you're providing to educators.
Thanks. We do too. We feel like it's a great place to find yourself again. So we had teachers this summer that came, and when it was over, we got long emails and letters and things in the mail saying that you gave me a reason to go back for another year. And that's actually our purpose. We wanted to enlarge our territory. You know, I started out as a classroom teacher with about 25 students, and I enjoyed that so much. Went into the as an instructional coach, and I had about 33 teachers, then became a coach of coaches for the whole district. So I had 30 schools times 30 teachers. So I just think that whole idea of being a pastor's kid, being a teacher's kid, and having that idea that it's easy to teach a few, and it can be more powerful to teach many. And that's what we think. These teachers, these educators, these rangers, they're our people now. They're part of our family, and we want to do everything we can to give them what they need socially and mentally and academically, so that they can continue inspiring kids around the world.
And I know, like when I came back and I was telling Allison about this, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did this great thing. And her first question, so I want to make sure that I clear up misconceptions about this. She was like, oh, I thought you were just spending those days like running workshops for kids who came to the park and doing stuff with them. And I was like, oh no, we got to do our own things, and we had our own personal park ranger. And when we went up to the top of the Washington Monument, Ranger Jen told us, look specifically in this place for the graffiti from the Civil War soldier. And it was so cool because I never would have found it unless she told us exactly where to look for it. And it was the things like that that you get out of it from having essentially your own personal park ranger for the week. And you just learn so much.
I agree. And it's summer camp for teachers. That's exactly what it is. And because we've invited rangers from around the country to be part of the experience, they're applying also to go to other parks that they may not have visited. It just really becomes this great triangular model of learning from experts, learning from each other, sharing and reflecting, and then learning how to write really great engaging content that they can take back to their classrooms.
So as we're talking about this, and Deja, I still marvel at how your brain works. So when you first started like thinking about this, how did you conceive of this partnership between the park rangers and the educators? And what did you hope that this exchange would produce for both the educators and the park rangers? And how has that worked? What's been successful? And has anything surprised you about the collaboration?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And if I knew the answer to all of it, we would be probably further along than we are, even though 3 years and 500 teachers is pretty good. We developed the relationship to the rangers first and found out that a lot of them craved interaction with educators. I mean, that was their job, to interpret and to share the education of their park, but they wanted buddies too. So our idea was that we would bring people together. Our foremost goals that we advertise are for educators to connect, collaborate, and create. So those are your three C's. and we connect early on, like several months before we ever get together. We begin collaboration early on. And then when we get together again, we just, it's all about the hugs and then the learning that happens. Our goal was to help educators not feel alone in this world, and also realizing that sometimes park rangers feel the same way. And how can we bring these two amazing experts together to create experiences for kids that they'll never forget? We know that we all have standards, we all have curriculum, but it's not about 3.16 that you teach on November the 16th. It's about the experience that you have in the classroom that a kid will remember 15 years from now. So Steve and I's job is to make sure that the educators have everything they need that week to be successful, to feel valued, so that they can go back into the classroom in August or September and do the same thing for their students.
I really find sort of meaningful that you talk about park rangers as sort of having similar struggles to educators, right? That both of these are professions where you're working very hard for the good of people and to try to create these educational experiences that will help them to find meaning, right? In sort of the natural world and natural wonders, or in the process of learning and curiosity. And so the idea that these two groups are sort of naturally lent to one another, it is just like a really brilliant innovation. So if there are educators out there who are listening, what does it take to get involved in this process?
So I would say that first it takes a little bit of courage, because sometimes it's not easy to step outside your comfort zone. And we're not going to be located at a technical conference where everyone's in a room with 600 people and you go in for 30 minutes. You don't have to speak to someone if you don't want to. Take your notes and get out. So the first thing I want you to do is check out our website. It's expeditionsineducation.org. Read through the whole website. There's a lot of great stuff there. But what you're going to look for is STEAM in the Park. Watch some of the videos. All 8 videos from last summer are up. Steve created sizzle reels. So you can sort of see what we do, how silly we can get, but then also how deep the learning is. And then decide, is a week away from home learning and experiencing and finding what we call firefly friendship, something that I'm interested in. And if it is, then we want you to apply. We'll have the application open on January 1st. We ask you to choose your top 3 places. And then just wait to hear from us. All the information is on the website, except for a few things that will be updated by Monday. And I will tell you, some people join this and have no idea what they're in for. And then they leave saying it was probably the best moments of their life because they found their purpose again. We say in Expeditions and Education, when your passion intersects your purpose, then you're set for life. I do want to just step back for a moment though and be transparent. Emily asked me, what would I have done different? So a normal person, and that's not in my vernacular, a normal person would have planned for a couple of years, possibly worked on funding, sponsors, looking at corporations, trying to make sure that everything they're doing has a little bit of cushion for them so that they can actually live. And when I say they, I mean we. We didn't do that. We knew that this needed to happen. We knew it needed to happen quickly. We knew that were educators out there that needed us, that didn't know they needed us. So we went full speed ahead. We were building the plane while we flew it. We're still building the plane while we fly it. So that might have been my thing that I would have changed, but knowing my personality, probably not. My husband's shaking his head no. It probably wouldn't have worked that way. We probably just would have gone exactly like we did.
I will also add that we will put that link in the show notes for you all so you can check that out. Even if you're not necessarily interested in applying, definitely check out the website because it's chock full of information, which we are going to get to here in a minute. And by the time this episode releases, because even though we're recording this in the middle of December, it's not going to release till the beginning of January. So when it releases, that application will be open for you to apply for as many national parks as you wish. And I will say, because obviously I'm in the Facebook group from having done a previous one, They all have different unique aspects to them. I'm still trying to figure out if I can apply to one or not. I'm kind of jealous about Hawaii being on the list. That would be my list, my first choice, but that's probably also going to be like everybody's first choice.
You never know. And Emily, you're correct. All of them are different. So they'll have the same flavor. They'll be in the same section of the grocery store, but they'll have a different purpose. So all of them are connected to the UN global goals. And these are challenges that we know that we have to face as a world. And we've already figured out what the challenges are at each park. And so that's how we're marketing them. We also have a relationship with Heather Montgomery, the author of What's in Your Pocket, and Kristen Nordstrom, who is our featured author this coming summer. And her book is Mimic Makers. So she will be part of our adventure. And just yesterday, we formed a collaboration with John Muir Laws. Now, he's no kin to John Muir, but if you know anything about nature journaling, he's one of the best out there. So we have a lot of really cool opportunities for you. And just if you'll give me 1 second, I'm going to give them all to you. It's Mammoth Cave, Great Smoky Mountains, Cumberland Outland National Seashore, New River Gorge, Hawaii Volcanoes, Big Cypress, Redwoods, Jimmy Carter National Historical Park, Acadia, Rocky Mountains, Olympic, and Voyageurs. And yes, I do that without even looking.
I mean, I don't know about you, Em, but I hear like several places. I know.
There's a bunch. Yeah. Yeah. And you with your Maine, you would love Acadia.
I know. That's one of my favorite places in the entire world is Acadia. And I spend a lot of time backpacking actually out in California. So a lot of the big redwoods and all that sounds absolutely fantastic.
One of these this summer is a family steam in the camp only, though. So that's Acadia National Park. This will be our third year there. We're inviting families. So if you're an educator and you don't want to leave your husband or your two children at home, bring them with you. They're going to be part of the adventure. They're going to be out in the tide pools, surveying the green crabs, and they'll be working together with other families to solve problems. So we hope you check that one out too.
Thank you for doing that, because I know that we've, you know, often on this podcast tried to point educators towards different resources where, you know, maybe people go away for the summer. And we've had many, many times people who have been accepted to opportunities and then at the last minute sort of felt like they needed to back out because being away from their family was just something that made it inaccessible. So thinking not just about the educator themselves, but their support network, because we all know as educators, the people around us really, really put up with a lot when it comes to our late nights or some of the challenges that we may have. So what a fantastic idea to make that not just accessible, but also a great way to extend that, you know, those open arms to the families of educators as well.
I was just going to, I'm going to slightly deviate here from our question.
Yeah,
can you expand a little bit on the UN global goals? Because that was actually something I hadn't heard about until I became involved in STEAM in the Park. So for anybody who maybe hasn't heard of that before, can you explain a little bit about those and how they fit into the bigger picture of STEAM in the Park?
Absolutely. So in 2015, the United Nations gathered to talk about things that were facing our world and how if we didn't do something about them, things were going to get bad. So they came up with 17 goals from hunger or no hunger and no poverty all the way to social justice, life on land, clean water, sustainable energy. And they put these global goals out there and they're encouraging people around the world to solve those problems by the year 2030. If you look at the calendar, we only have a few years left. I found out about these a few years ago and I applied to be a UN Global Teach Ambassador and was chosen among 30 educators in the entire world. And so I work with a cohort every year and we work on ways to give kids the opportunity to solve real world problems. And if you think about it, that's the way we should be teaching anyway. We should give kids a reason to want to learn, a reason to solve a problem. So because of that, all of our filming, all of our work with the national parks is closely tied to those UN global goals. For example, at Crater Lake National Park, which is a park we visited this summer, the goal that or the problem they face there is they have endemic newts. and the endemic newts are being encroached upon by invasive crayfish. So kids around the country are working on ways, ideas to take care of those endemic newts. And that is the challenge that we worked on when we took a team of educators out there in August.
One of the things that we're talking about a lot right now in education is John Hattie's work and sort of looking at collective teacher efficacy. And so it makes me really happy to hear this idea of we're extending that collective teacher efficacy, not just to, you know, individual schools or school teams, but to a truly global reach. That gives me a lot of sort of optimism thinking about our future. So you've talked a lot about expeditions in education on the show today. And I wondered if there were other resources that either educators, schools, or families might be able to take advantage of through your organization.
Absolutely. So on our website, we have three main things. One is our homepage. It tells a little bit about us and how people can collaborate with us, connect with us, partner with us, if you will. Our second program is the National Parks Expedition Challenge, and that is where we go into parks, we film an interview, we decide on a challenge that the park faces, and we put that out there. We have filmed at 131 national park sites. Steve has about 10 of those to get going right now because we've been on the road quite a lot in the last 2 months. Our second piece is called Crossing America. Last year, the National Park Foundation found us online and decided that they liked what we were doing. So they gave us a small grant to expand that program. So we work with fourth graders specifically to understand the national parks and how they can learn from them. So this year they re-upped our grant, and now we're doing the videos again, plus we're doing 10 live events. So teachers could apply for their school to win one of these events. So at no charge, we come out to a school, we do a full day of STEM, including an assembly with the entire school, and then we work specifically with grades 3, 4, and 5. Those opportunities are filled through April this year, but if we continue this program, which we hope we do, in September, teachers can apply for those opportunities around the country.
And just to clarify on that, those aspects are free, correct? Just
absolutely, everything is free. Yeah.
If the STEAM in the park is a little too expensive for your price point, because as Daisha said, in full transparency, it's not fully funded, then you can take advantage of some of her other resources. And there's a ton of them.
Yeah, there are. We do encourage you, though, to take a look at the pricing we put up, because it's going to beat out any technical conference or any educational conference that you find around the country. And our prices include all food, lodging, supplies, and programming fees. So, for example, just to throw one out to you, for six days and five nights in Hawaii Volcanoes inside the park, it's $650. And that includes all of your food, all of your lodging, all of the supplies, all the program fees, and we think that's a pretty good deal. So check those out, compare them to other things that are happening. Remember, we're not professional development. We're not a workshop. We are a learning experience.
And you get a ton of bang for your buck.
Well, Daisha, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. And we'd like to take the moment to end with our favorite question. So take this sort of as you will. Some people take it as asking about sort of their entire career in education. But we do have a lot of young educators listening. So either students who are in teaching programs right now, people who are in their first or second year of teaching. And so we always like to sort of have these sort of veteran educators be able to speak to that next generation sort of directly. So what do you wish that you knew before you got started?
I wish that I knew it was okay to ask for help. As a first-year teacher, I thought that asking for help was a sign of weakness, and I didn't want them to think that I didn't know what I didn't know. And thank goodness for an amazing mom who was a teacher and a mentor who encouraged me to fail forward, and that it was okay to be transparent in the classroom and to let kids know that you didn't know. And Allison, that just reminds me also that this is also open to college students that are on the track for education.
Wonderful.
As they're looking on the website, make sure you check that out. I just spoke at a large teaching fellow event at NC State University in North Carolina last week, and there were 143 teachers, or future teachers in there, who were salivating thinking that there was something out there already that could help them, mentor them, get them excited about the future. So I would say look for people to inspire you, find mentors, and it's okay to fail, and take care of your mental health, because right now that's something that we're not doing a great job of, and we need to remember that we matter too.
I think that that is a wonderful, wonderful message. And once again, what a generous thing to also be providing that to that next generation of teachers, right? It can be, entering the classroom can be a really daunting thing, I think, especially right now where there's so many shifts in the world of education, and something like this that can also help those students on track to make connections with veteran educators before they even enter the classroom is something that is just such an incredibly powerful thing to offer.
I also just wanted to say too, that if you have more questions about like what the experience was like, any of that, feel free to connect with me. You have all of our information, obviously, as a treasured listener of the podcast. Also, if you're one of our Pennsylvania friends, there are several PAECT people who have also done STEAM in the Park. We will put on our website, in the resource links, the link to Expeditions in Education, the link directly to the STEAM in the Park section, so you can see that. Also, just if you think this is really cool and you are like, I'm still really stressed about the funding piece. I know, and Daisha can back me up on this, that some people got grants funded. And sometimes you can do like a donors choose, although they were funny about in-person events before. Maybe they're getting past that. But you can often use grant money because it is things to bring back to your classroom. So there are ways to help with the funding piece if that's something that you're stressed about. But I cannot speak highly enough of this program just for your own enrichment. I have so many things that I brought back for my own lessons and things that I would not have known about American government had I not spent 5 days in Washington, D.C.
It's a truly beautiful program, and we are so fortunate to have had you on the podcast, Daisha. So thank you so much for taking this time out of your busy flying schedule, heading to wonderful places and doing great things. So thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Cyber Sisters podcast. If you're interested in partnering with Expeditions in Education, please reach out at Daisha@expeditionsineducation.org to help them change the world one adventure at a time. Right now, they are on Twitter at Daisha. Daisha92, that's DACIA92 on Twitter, but there's a chance that they're going to be leaving the platform by the end of the year. So by the time this particular podcast airs, they may not be there anymore. In the meantime, you are always welcome to keep in touch with us on our socials. And if we need help connecting you up with Daisha, I'm sure that we are absolutely happy to do that. So we're on Twitter at Allison K Teaches and at Settler Cyber. We appreciate keeping this conversation glowing. Please like, comment, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, dear listeners, keep trying hard.